Stormester skal finde den mindst uduelige af de mest uduelige.
Hej, Mark. Lidt faldefærdig. Sammen to papkasser. Åh, nej, Mark.
Må jeg ikke ringe til min mor?
Stormester. En chance til.
Det er ikke på nogen måde behageligt.
Stream nu på TV2 Play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Du lytter til NBA-podcasten fra TV2 Sport.
Velkommen til denne podcast. Mit navn er Thomas Bilde. Denne podcast er en lidt anderledes udgave end normalt. I sidste uge var vi nemlig så heldige i Basket Danmark at have besøg af en NBA-spiller, der samtidig også har vundet både VM og EM med det spanske landshold. Fredag aften var han så på plads i Game i København til en åben snak og får svar på spørgsmål fra de fremmødte. Jeg skal dog på forhånd beklage en lille smule for den manglende lyd på spørgsmålene fra gæsterne i salen. Men bare rolig, for Hernan Gomez eller Bo Cruz, som han hedder, i den basketfilm Hustle, som han er med i, leveret rigeligt i mikrofonen. Hernan Gomez har i øvrigt også leveret på banen, siden han blev draftet i 2016. Han har spillet for både Denver Nuggets, Minnesota Timberwolves, Utah Jazz, San Antonio Spurs og senest Toronto Raptors. Og gennem hans år i NBA har han både set de gode og knap så gode sider af ligaen. Du kan blandt andet høre ham fortælle om, da han blev draftet i NBA og hele processen deromkring. Tak fordi du lytter med, og god fornøjelse med podcasten og ikke mindst snakken med Juancho Hernan Gomez.
And now the starting lineup for your Estudiantes, Spain, Toronto Raptors, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Hey! Welcome.
How you doing?
Good to see you.
Yeah,
you
good to see you.
Sit on this side.
Whatever you want.
You sit there. What do you want to drink? You sit there.
Water is fine.
Water?
Yeah.
For the first time in Denmark, you're going to drink water?
Yes, for the second time.
Okay, you have water down there. We have beers and sodas over there. You let us know. We'll send someone to run. All right?
Perfect.
You feeling good?
I'm feeling great.
So this crowd is warmed up. They've been ready. They know the Danish clock. You know,
okay.
They know the time zone. And
yeah, I'm going to tell you something. The Spanish clock is a little bit different.
Siesta.
Siesta. Are we going to be ready?
Oh, no? You're looking good. You're looking good. Okay. So we're sitting here. This is all more or less Copenhagen people. Okay. They know their basketball. They're big fans of you. They're big fans of the NBA. And they're big fans of the hustle. So we're going to talk, you and me, and then at one point we're going to get some questions for them. What is the first thing you're going to tell someone who doesn't know you about you? What would be the main thing, except that you're an NBA player? What would be the best thing to tell someone?
I don't know. I mean, that's not a tricky question. I'm a normal guy. a friend of my friends. I love to hang out with my friends, with my family. All my family play basketball, so it's on the blood. And luckily, I make a movie. So probably surprise that.
Perfect. So some of the guys down here, I asked them, what would be the cool thing to talk about? And one or a couple said, the upbringing. And someone also asked, what would be the first sport? And I know we talked briefly, but can you tell, how did you get into basketball, or at least, or maybe, how did you start in sports?
Yeah, so as every kid in Spain, we start playing soccer or football. My brother and me start playing soccer, and we were really good until like 13, 14 years old, that we start growing up so much that soccer is not the sport. And we just changed for basketball. My parents, they both were a really good basketball players, so we just follow the path.
For det blev ikke fanget det, og jeg oversætter ikke det hele, men han har to søskende, en storebror og en lille søster. Lille søsteren har spillet på college, broren spiller for Pelicans i år, og både faren og moren har spillet på det højeste niveau i Spanien. Også national team, mom and dad. Ja, så også på landsholdet, moren og faren. Så der har været lidt, there was something in the genes. There was a little gene pool there that you kind of jumped into and came out pretty good. And in soccer, were you offense, defense, header?
Offense. I'm a lefty. I'm a soccer, so I shoot with the left. And so I went to the right wing to just cross to the middle and shoot.
And your brother?
My brother was offense. But he was so much bigger than the other kids, like the ref always called him fouls. Yeah.
And did you switch sports at the same time, or did he go before you?
He go a little bit before me, and then I follow him.
So you follow his footsteps?
Yes.
So you try to copy him all your life?
I mean, I try to beat him in everything he does, so...
And you did?
I mean, well, sometimes.
So the brother was drafted a year before you, correct me if I'm wrong, in the second round? You came in the next year in the first round. So that would be, if I was the brother, that would be a victory, huh?
Yes.
Considering your mom and dad playing at the high level, your brother made it, and you were about to make it. Can you take us through that year before making it to the NBA? Because there must have been scouts, there must have been people talking, there must have been visions. But it was still early. I mean, it must have been like, what, 4 or 5 years into your basketball career.
Yes.
So, just after the transition.
So I start playing like really seriously with 14 years old. Then I play like 4 or 5 years there. I start getting pro. In Spain, we get in pro like with 16, 17 years old. And then my brother get drafted with 19. So I was kind of like jealous. So I did a really good year after him. I was like the rookie of the year in Spanish national league, and then they draft me first round. Every practice is like the movie. So the movie is based on the true story, because it's how it is. Like the scouts came to your practice court. They came to every game. We talk after the games. They talk. The scouts talked with your family, with your friends, with your old coaches, to see how is your human person, how are you with your teachers. Like, they ask about everything, and then they draft me.
But having parents who've been there, and having a brother who made it, just, I know that was early though too, but the year before, but he's been good at the national team as well. Having people like that around you must have made you strong, must have made it easier, but also given a greater amount of pressure for you to make it. But when it started, I mean, the ball started to roll and go your way, was it nice to have him, or was it maybe sometimes a little bit too much? Because I'm guessing everybody around you, you got to do this, you got to talk to this, you got to do this.
I mean, I always did my own way. When I was 15, I got a bad surgery on my knee, so I got to stop for a year. And the next year with 16, I got another surgery on my knee. So I was like 2 years... Like, and nobody trust me. I start growing up, and I was playing for Real Madrid with 15 years old, and they cut me at the end of the year. They say, you don't have more talent, and so that make you stronger. Thanks for my parents, thanks for my brother. Like, they help me, they teach me that the great things are the things like you really want it and you really wanna you really need to have to work really hard for get it. Mm-hmm. So the easy things are not the right things, and you gotta go.
So you herinde i salen, håndsoprækning, er man Barcelona eller man Real Madrid? Barcelona fans? Real Madrid fans? Atletico Madrid? Did you see this? So there was about half Barcelona. Not half Madrid, there was a little bit of Atletico. And then,
Who is from Atletico? Oh, nice.
But you were Real Madrid. He told me yesterday he grew up watching Galacticos. You know, that was when he was about 10 years old. So I mentioned who? Gravesen. And what did you say?
Gravesen, he's the best. He was fun to watch. I mean, he always like go really hard.
He goes hard.
He got yellow cards every game. Yeah. He was fun.
Who was the more Gravesen of you and your brother? Because I can imagine being that close age-wise, being that close talent-wise and physical, that you must have had some battles growing up in soccer and then also carrying over to basketball.
I mean, we always fight for everything, for food, for playing PlayStation, for FIFA, for how many hours you play on the PlayStation. We just have one PlayStation and we were lucky, you know. So if you play 1 hour and 30 minutes, I gotta play 1 hour and 30 minutes. But then my sister came and she wanna play 1 hour and 30 minutes. So my dads, they were really straight about candies, about what time you get out, you go out, and what time you coming out, about everything. When we were like 16, 17, as we get older, we just become best friends. Okay. So all the fights stops. We just help each other. We both worked really hard to make the dream come true, and we both came the same year to NBA. We both played national team. We both won World Cup, European Championship, and play with your brother is the best feeling ever.
But we have one more thing. So you drinking water, but we got to teach you one word. I don't know if you picked it up yet, but skål.
Skål.
Skål. So if you say skål, I mean, Danish people are so polite. I asked them to say, should we boo you before coming a little bit late, or should we cheer you on? And they said, no, let's give him a warm welcome.
Okay.
Let's give him a warm. So they're happy, and they're so polite. So if you say skål, I know they're going to drink.
Okay.
And you know, it's an open bar, so should we try?
Yeah, it's cool.
Skål. Skål.
Skål.
So this is for you?
I know what it is.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
We leave him underwear.
I tried yesterday.
You try?
Yeah. You want to try?
Should we try? You going to try one with me?
Hey.
It's closed doors. NBA is looking the other way. It's closed doors, right?
But that's good for you. They say it's good for your stomach.
For your belly, exactly. And I have a big belly.
We got one more. You got to choose one person to sit here and drink with us.
Hvem er op for en? Vi har en landsholdstrøje.
You are too young.
Yeah. Who's too young?
The guy.
Oh, yeah. Du er for ung. Landsholdstrøjen. Vi skal have en landsholdstrøje herop. Det er dig. 25. He's wearing a national team jersey. Red and white, he's ready.
You ready?
So you, yeah.
Sit down.
What's your name?
Andreas.
So Andreas, you can ask a question while we're drinking this. You can open it.
From here, right?
Yeah, this is from here, I think. We bought it here.
You have a question?
I don't know.
Think about it. We'll take one. Are we glad? Skål.
Skål. Cheers. Cheers.
That's what we call cough medicine.
That's good.
That's good.
You need a little bit of water after.
Yeah, you need a little bit of water. Har du tænkt på spørgsmål?
I just wanted to know, what do you think about Jokic?
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
So I played 4 years in Denver. I got drafted by the Denver Nuggets, and he was my best friend and all my time there. Okay. I mean, we hanging out every night. We go on dinner after the games, before the games. I drive him home from the airport to the games. He just he's the best human being. I mean, and basketball-wise, he's the MVP.
He's a little bit boring. He's boring sometimes.
Well, no. He's so funny. Like, really, really funny.
Will he lock the doors? Will he turn on the seat heat? I mean, if you're in a car and it's hot, will he turn on the seat?
Yeah,
he's
really funny. He just changed the music. He put his Serbian music. I mean, he's a really cool guy.
What about his brothers?
They're crazy. Yeah, Strahima.
They're wild.
But they're the best.
Yeah, they're the best.
Yeah. At the beginning, they can be scary.
Yeah.
But they got a big heart.
Okay, good.
Like even like his wife and his parents, they are really good. He got a really good family.
Perfect. Tak for spørgsmålet.
Thank you. Schools.
School. School. Oh. Hvad størrelse fødder har du?
44.
Det er faktisk lige dig. Så er der hvide sokker til. Ej. Du griber dårligere end jeg kaster. Okay. So Jokic is obviously a big subject for what he's gone. How much did you know about Jokic before? I know you're pretty. I mean, you're almost the same age, and growing up in the youth departments of Serbia and Spain. Serbia is a great basketball nation, but obviously you guys were really good at all the championships. But when did you hear about him? Do you remember the first time?
Yeah, I remember when he was drafted. I didn't know much about him. We are born in '95. So I played the European Championship under 18, under 20, under 19, and he never played with Serbian. So the Serbian generation of that year, they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
They won the under 20 European Championship, which we finished with the silver medal. But he never.
So you lost.
We lost the final.
Sorry.
Sometimes you lost, and sometimes you won. And he never be with national team. So he was playing, I think, in Partizan. And Megalex, he was playing Megalex, and then he got drafted, and nobody knew about him until like he became the superstar.
Mm-hmm. And when you got to Denver and was there for 4 years with him, great friend, great basketball player. I know he had the vision already, but Denver at that time had Nurkic as well, and they were kind of deciding which way they were going to go. Ended up sending Nurkic to Portland. To give or set the Joker free, I'm guessing, you know, to give him more minutes so there wouldn't be a bad, because they had unbelievable talent, both of them.
Yeah.
Who did you see as the best one when you were coming in?
I mean, they are kind of different. They tried to, when I was there, I was rookie, and they tried to play both at the same time. But both are really good talent. They are big. They are European big men. They can pass. They can score. And it just they choose for Jokic. Mm. I think the difference between them probably is like the Jokic's talent as a passer, as a playmaker, as a leader is just different than Nurkic. But Nurkic was a great guy. He got really success in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Mason, which is a nice guy too. And but yeah.
Unfortunately, he got a little injured, Nurkic. But it seems like they made the right decisions in Denver.
No, for sure. Both of them.
Well, we know what happened now too with Denver.
No.
I also want to go back to your days in Spain, or at least with the national team, because I mean, playing with your brother, looking up to another couple of brothers in the Gasols. I mean, there must have been some kind of inspiration, not necessarily because it was the same position, or not the same position, but the brothers playing, doing it in the NBA, but also doing it for the national team. How big an influence were there, if they were an influence?
No, for sure. I mean, they were influence for every kid in Spain, and also for me, for my brother and me. We growing up looking at them. They are impossible to be two more brothers like them. They were all-star, they won championships, they won everything. We never tried to be like them, but it was an inspiration for us, it was a motivation. And then when we played together, all four brothers,
mm-hmm.
1 year on national team, and it was the best. I mean, they teach us a lot of things. They become like a big brothers for us, like a huge example. They talk to us, they advise us, and just watching them, how they fight on practice, it was amazing. Like after practice, they stay playing one-on-one, and it was like big time, you know, like they fighting, they talking shit, and so it was a big time.
Who's the bigger trash talker of Pau Gasol and Marc Gasol? I mean, the big burrito, or what they called him early on, Marc Gasol. I mean, yeah. We saw him in he was actually in Denmark with Barcelona when he was, let's say, quite big. I mean, when he looked like a Jokic
child. I think Pau might talk more.
Really?
But Marc, when he get mad, get out the way. No, get out the way. You gotta run away. Yeah.
And who is that in your brother? You and your brother. Who is the more?
I love to talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Yes. On the sports, I'm really competitive guy. Mm-hmm. So if we play cards, if we play whatever sport you want, if we just play throwing a rock to the whatever, I'm gonna talk a lot of shit. Like I cannot play with no talking.
Well, that's good. So what's your go-to line? Well, you come to the NBA, you're a rookie, but you made it with Spain. You're good. But who's the first one you talk trash to?
First of all, when I came to the NBA, I don't speak English. So I cannot talk shit.
¿Qué?
So probably if I talk shit, they don't understand me. So they were like, what are you talking about? So
who was the first one who talked trash to you, where you remember and you understood?
Yes, it was Tyson Chandler.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And he was fear. Yes. So, I cannot say what he said, but I was like, okay.
So we don't mention the names now. But what is something that's being said? I mean, because we see it, we hear, you know, when you're mic'd up, hey, I got a mic on today.
Yes.
And I know it's edited out, but what is something that's actually been said without mentioning who, without mentioning the teams, but is it family? Is it shoe size? Is it hair color? What are they going at?
They're going at everything.
Okay.
They're going, if you messed up with something, they're going to go at you. Whatever it is, family-wise, whatever you messed up, shoe-wise, how you dress, how you talk, whatever you say on the media, they go crazy. How much money you make, they go crazy. Mm-hmm. Like imagine if you sign a 10 million contract, and I'm the minimum, and I score 10 points on you. So, oh, you the guy for $10 million? Oh wow, they give you the money for free or something.
So when Grant Williams, he was talking shit and he missed those free throws, the Boston guy. You can imagine he was going to get some heat, right? I mean, that's probably going to last a couple of years from now.
Yeah, I mean, Grant Williams, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy, but I'm just saying, when you're out there.
Yeah, I was watching the game, actually. And when he missed the two free throws, I was like, oh, wow. They're going to talk him a lot. They're going to talk shit with him a lot.
That's going to hurt.
But he got a lot of personality. He's going to go through that for sure.
In the NBA, 4 years in with Denver, managed to get a new contract, and you stayed along for quite some time, and you're still in the loop without contract now. I mentioned it to them before, but you're obviously hoping for a contract. But February of 22, there is if you look at your basketball reference, there's a whole lot of teams. With the trades. I mean, first one trade, then you're there for a week, then moved for money reasons, and then dropped at one point, picked up by Toronto. How is a situation like that? When you know you're good, you scored 27 points in a couple of games at the best level, you won at the international level, you know you can play, but it's about to fit in, right?
You did your job really good, huh? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, big time, big time.
No, I'm telling you, I'm a fan of the game, and I'm a fan of you. I've been a huge fan of Spanish basketball for a long time. So I know, I followed, but I'm just, when we have a guy sitting here who's honest and seems like not afraid, let me know if you don't want to talk about it.
I'm
just curious in that situation, because we've heard sometimes, you know, some players being pulled off the bus. Hey, you've been traded. You're going that way. Hey, you're not playing tonight because you might be traded. I know when you trade the first time, you don't know what's going to happen. You might be sent off. But can you take us through that month? How was that?
Yeah. So the first time when you get traded, that's the most important time. I mean, that's the emotional one. I've been 4 years in Denver. That's the only place I know. My team is from all the time. We didn't change the team too much. Mm-hmm. And we're growing up. We made the playoff. We go to the second round. I feel like home. I got my Spanish coach there. I see their kids born there, so I'm like the Uncle Juancho. And I just feel at home. But you're looking for something, right? So It was before the trade deadline. My agent called me, like, I mean, I was looking for a contract, and Denver wasn't ready for doing that. So it gotta be a trade. So let's see, your name is on the table. We don't know yet what teams. He told me like 3-4 teams, but we don't know. So
did you say anyone that you wanted to go to, or
at that point you don't have any power?
It's just them.
Yes, yeah. I'm not that player that have a lot of power. So you go wherever they want to go. So we play at Portland. We play in Denver against Portland, and coach bring me to the office before the game. He say, you might get traded after the game, so I don't want to push you if you don't want to play, because you can get hurt. I don't want to risk you, and we love you here, and whatever your decision it is, we're going to follow you. I mean, you give us everything, and I was really cool with the coach and with all the Denver. It was a tough decision for them to trade me, because I was really, really loved there, and I love everybody there. So I told him, like, coach, for me, the most proud thing is to finish my career on Denver with a game, you know, my time in Denver with a game.
Awesome.
So I'm going to give you the best. I will love to say goodbye to the fans. They really love me with the fans, and Denver fans are really, really nice. So I want to play the last game with
uh-huh,
them.
Uh-huh.
And then so we finish the game. We don't even get to the shower, and we got to play a back-to-back. So it's two games in 2 days. So we gotta fly to Utah. And then they call us. Before we get into the shower, 7 people of Denver, we just get traded. And you start saying on Twitter, and it go crazy.
Yeah.
So we don't even know what player going where. And I was calling my agent, where can I go? Where I have to go? When? So we were in the locker room really emotional, like we don't know what happened.
So 7 players.
7 players.
And you went to Jazz?
No, I went to Minnesota.
Minnesota, that's right, yeah, Minnesota.
I went with Malik Beasley,
yeah.
Who we were drafted the same year. I went with Jared Vanderbilt, and we both, all three, we stayed there. Another players went to other teams,
uh-huh.
So it was kind of like crazy. So the next day, you pick a plane, and then you go into Minnesota, and the next day you are playing a game with a new team, new coaches, new players. So that's the wake-up call to the
NBA. But you're all playing pick and roll on the top, so it doesn't matter.
Basketball is basketball, but it surprises you, like, how is the business size of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
That wake you up, and that's how you learn. You are business. You sign a contract with the NBA, not with the team.
Yeah. And then they own you for a little bit. So when you were moved around, did you actually get... I mean, I know you guys get into hotel situations, not Airbnb, but you find some good stuff before you know, oh, I'm going to live in this area, or I'm going to find an apartment here. Did you manage to buy stuff, apartments, any of the places, except for Denver, obviously, or were you just, you know, I never know what's going to happen?
The only place I buy was in Minnesota.
Okay.
Because I signed there, and I went with Ricky Rubio. So we both buy a home, like, close, on the same neighborhood. So we have a really good year there. And the other places are just rented.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
So they can call you right now and say, hey, they trade you to whatever they want. You got to go to Toronto. You got to go to Chicago. You got to go to...
Do you like that? Do the players like that? That being, I mean, you sign up for it, or would you rather the European system where you play for Real Madrid and you can say, hey, well... It's not working for me. You need to find another place, or someone's trying to buy you out. And you say, which one do you prefer?
I feel like this way is more exciting for the league. Like in 5 minutes, the league can change.
Yep.
And one team can be from the worst team to the best team in 2 moves.
Yeah.
So I feel like the NBA system that makes you the excitement from every fans. So the first day of July, when everybody gonna sign the contract, so every trade deadlines, everybody's waiting for the last day of February before the trades. That's the crazy thing of NBA.
We're gonna open up for questions in just a little bit, but who's the craziest teammate? I've been in quite a few locker rooms in the NBA. And sometimes the guys will take the camera and they will play along. I think it was Boogie Cousins. Was it Boogie who farted?
Who farted?
He farted, like big time farted, like in front of the camera, you know. And sometimes they would be like, ugh. And sometimes I have fun. The last time I was there was in L.A. and Montrezl Harrell, I mean, he was just going off. Philadelphia was in town. Who would be the craziest, like, in a good way, teammate in the locker room? Because it is a business, and you play so many games, and there's so many people in those locker rooms all the time.
I mean, I've been with a lot of teammates.
I'm thinking crazy in a good way, you know, but
yeah,
someone
crazy in a good way. I will say Anthony Edwards.
Yeah?
Because he was rookie and he was so funny. And then every time he got to the media, he was a highlight. Like, he was really, really funny. We had so much fun with him that year.
And is he really eating a lot of those chips? I saw it was 7 bags a week or at least a bag a day.
Yeah. I mean, he's a freak of genetics. So, I mean, he can eat cheeseburger every day and he can jump, run. I mean,
So I'm with the media and I'm in the locker room and your media guy will say, okay, so right after the game they come out, or actually 50 minutes before the game we can be in the locker room while they're changing, but most of them have changed before we're coming in. Right after the game we go down there, we wait again, and if you're a home team then you have some hideouts, you can do whatever, but we're going to be let in. But if you're a away team, there's no hideouts. You are in that room, that locker room. So when your media guy lets us in, we're going to come in and you standing there with small towels around you and the media is asking or waiting for you to get dressed. How is that different from what you were used to? I mean, both with national team, obviously, I could imagine everything was closed off and sealed. And I could imagine, too, in Real Madrid or Estudiantes were in Spain.
I mean, that surprised you when you came to the NBA. Like, you can be naked there and the media's everywhere. But I mean, we already know. So there's a lot of privacy. So you got the towers, you got everything. But it surprised you at the beginning because they can be there. You can be talking to you after the game, and it's a camera right there. Yep. So it's kind of surprise you, but you gotta get used to.
But can you get used to it? Is that just? I mean, we've been in there on almost standing on your feet, and I'm not saying I don't want to be in there because it's good for us. It's great content. And
it's great content.
To get the feel, yeah. And that's why you guys are so popular, and probably why you make so much money, because it's allowed, and that's why the NBA is also pushing, of course, to get people in there to get those stories and get that content. But I could just—I mean, you guys are making so much money, and sometimes it must be. Come on.
Yeah, you get tired even if you got a bad game, and you gotta talk to the media, and you don't even want to talk to the media, or you have a bad day, or you have a bad something in your family. Or you just, you know, discuss with your wifey. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, everybody have a good days and bad days. And you got to be a smile and talk to the media and be polite. So that's tough. But I think at the other way, that's good for the fans. So at the end of the day, the NBA is making because of the fans.
Yep, yep.
In all the world. So people in Africa can see how is the locker room. How is the really, what do you do after the games? Yeah. How you talk, if you can see the people eating after the game. So that's the honestly about the NBA. So they try to make that.
Last time Embiid was sitting with a towel over his head, making his own little locker room and texting this huge man, just sitting there waiting for, my best story from the locker room, there's a lot, but best one, Steve Nash. They lost, he was with the Lakers, they lost and they played horrible. And he was the first man to talk. He was the last man to talk. There was no one left in the locker room.
Yeah.
And he was still standing there talking and asking. And he said, well, I know who pays the bills. And this is what makes me a name. And this is why people don't talk bad about me. And from this conversation, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to talk bad about you. This has been pretty good. Okay, we need to touch on hustle.
Yes.
So for a couple of years, that's been, when did this process start?
It started on COVID year, on 2021. We were sitting at the home. We were locked down. We don't know what happened with the NBA. And my agent offered me to do like some videos to do the castings. But I was telling him for like 2 or 3 months, I don't want to do it. I'm a basketball player. I'm not seeing me. I never dreamed about doing a movie. It's not my dream to be an actor. But then we were so bored in a home. We were at Charlotte. My brother used to play in Charlotte, so we were there. And it was my sister's idea. She said, let's play some films. Let's play like we actors. So we tried to record the videos just to have fun. I mean, we did in like 2 hours. And it was more like a family thing. and they send it to the directors and they start liking. So I did some like Zoom calls, then you know, like some improv, and they start liking it, and then we go through the process.
So how much did that change you? How do you see yourself different now, not just being an NBA player, but also, I tell you, a lot of these kids, what they mention is hustle.
No, for sure.
I mean, they love this movie.
No, and I feel that. I mean, at the beginning, I was a little bit, to be honest with you, I didn't like it to just, they know me about hustle. Uh-huh. Because I work so hard to be who I am as a basketball player, as I'm making the NBA. I've been playing basketball for like 15 years in a high level, and they know me for like a movie. But then I realized, like, man, if I can, they text me from everywhere, from every country.
Yeah.
They watch in every country. I went with my girlfriend to a holiday in Italy. It's like 30, 40 kids running with me. Hey, Bo Cruz is here, and they were following me everywhere. Or we play a tournament in Georgia, and it's the empty stadium, 100 fans. And then at the end, it's like 10 kids, all game. Bo Cruz, all game. They never get tired. So if I can inspire one kid with the movie, I'm just going to be so proud of what I did. Perfect. And the movie was a really hard working. It's not that easy.
How many times did you run up and down that
hill? A lot. That's the worst thing. But I'm going to tell you, the best days for me was the acting days.
Yeah.
Like you are sitting on the table where you are driving. But on the worst day, they are the basketball ones. Because you got to do over and 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 over again. And over.
So you literally ran up that hill a lot of times?
A lot of times.
It's not easy being an actor, man.
No.
So Bo Cruz is a bad guy. Bo is your security guy.
Yes.
So which Bo is bad? I mean, Big Bad Bo down in the back or Bo Cruz? Who would win that battle?
I think he can beat them. I'd be with him 3 days and he can beat for sure.
Bo, som er a security guy, og altid en af NBA's favoritter. Han er dansker, han står for det her.
I'm going to tell you one story.
Yeah.
So the day I meet him, we were like, he picked me up from the airport. We're going to the hotel. And I give him my number, right? He said, hey, you using WhatsApp? I said, yeah, I'm using WhatsApp. So I went to the hotel, and he said, Bo, dot, security guard. And I was telling my friends, this guy don't know my name. He called me like Bo Cruz. So I didn't know it was his name.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's a
great guy.
Okay, spørgsmål fra salen. I will try and translate, get some questions. Hånden up. Yes?
My pre-game ritual, just listen to music, try to get in the zone, feel good after like the nap, get a shower, try to get in a good mood, maybe play some games on the phone. In the national team, we play a lot of cards, so we play cards before the game, just to hang out and, you know, just get the pressure off.
Yeah, what is good? Oh yeah, we talked a lot about that.
It's real. Like my draft workout, so I did like 4 or 5 draft workouts. So I went to Phoenix, and the draft workouts are the hardest workouts ever. They treat you like an animal. Like they make you run, play one-on-one full court for 30 minutes. At the end of the practice, you gotta do the 100 shot test. At the end of that, you gotta do the weights test. At the end of that, you gotta do the running test. They're really, really, really hard. So we went to Denver, and because of the height, they say, you gotta drink a lot of water. So I didn't believe it. I say, okay, there's no height. In 5 minutes, I couldn't breathe anymore.
You forgot underwear.
Oh, yes.
So going to Denver, and you making millions of dollars, and now you're complaining about running?
It was before. It was before.
Okay, now, yep, in the back, yep.
Oh. He just says bad shit.
Sí.
He talks shit. I mean, I remember almost every game, every feeling. I remember every final when we won a championship, when we won a world championship, when we won the European championship. Or I remember the under 20 final when we lost against Serbia. I remember that, or I remember when I play under 20 with my brother, and we lost against Turkey with Cedi Osman. He was the MVP. But every game is different. Even if it's good, even if I score 27 points, and even if I do 0 for 10 on three-point shots. Because that's how basketball, that's how life go. One time here, and then the next day they here. So I really enjoyed that journey.
What's your proudest moment? Obviously, I could imagine winning with the national team, but there's also getting drafted. Yeah. But there's also on the family side, seeing your brother get drafted, yeah, or maybe even your sister graduating. I mean, what would be... you get older in life, and suddenly things come into perspective. So yeah, looking back, what would be your proudest moment on the sports scene?
I feel my best day of my life was when I got drafted. So when they called my name and I went to say hi with a hat and see my family, my mom, my dad crying. That's the best day.
Good. Yeah. Yep.
Do you know which teams are looking for you now?
29 of them. 29, maybe.
I wish. I don't know yet because the market is start on 1st of July. So that's how the free agency starts. So after that, we don't know.
But how hard? I'm just brief. How hard is that being in this vacuum? Because I know that nothing's gonna happen now before they figure out where the draft pick's gonna go, who's gonna get traded on draft night or the day after. But being in a limbo that you're still, you know, you're still there, but you're still actually not there.
I mean, tomorrow is going to be a sunset again. So I'm keep working on my game, keep getting better this summer, getting ready for national team. My goal is to get better every day, yeah, even if I'm playing NBA, even if I'm playing Denmark. So I don't care. Basketball is basketball. So I try to be the best player I can be.
Perfect.
I would love to be NBA, for sure. But I would love to play anywhere, too.
We have a couple of teams in Denmark that will be fine for, yeah, you as well. Yeah, when it's said and done. You got a lot of fans here now.
You see that.
Yep. Oh, that's tough.
I mean, at this point, I play in 7 teams. I just need a team like I can help them and, you know, feel like the trust and feel like playing time.
Okay, so would you pick playing time over money and contract length now? Or would you have, if you're guaranteed a 3-year deal and saying, okay, you're probably going to play 7 minutes, 5, 7 minutes, a lot, which is not a lot. Or would you rather have where you will know you're going to play for 1 year here for sure, but you were going to get minutes, you will have a starter role?
I'd rather now play in playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I know I can make more money in Europe than NBA. I'm still looking for NBA.
Yeah.
So at this point, I mean, thanks for the NBA and thanks for my contract with Minnesota and for my 4 years. And I get paid too much that I don't need to worry about that point. And I'm so blessed.
So now it's to prove. It's proven.
Yeah. Now it's the joy of, I mean, if all my life it's been for the joy of basketball and playing time. And perfect. And show that what you are capable of. I never choose for money. I don't like that.
Perfect. Shot clock is on. 2 questions.
What are your thoughts on the upcoming World Cup?
On the World Cup?
Yeah. Ooh.
I mean, it's going to be tough, like every World Cup. Last World Cup, Spain was one of the top lows. But we always competing. But I can tell you the same thing. We are not going to be the best team. But we are going to try to get ready, try to work really, really hard, try to be the best at the best shape possible, and try to compete every game. We know we are not the tallest. We are not the best. It's like probably 8 to 10 national teams better than us before the tournament. But we don't care. I mean, in national team, we just play with heart, and we just never give up. That's the key.
Perfect. So, yep. So a little man over here got a question. Maybe
yes.
I'll have to translate. Yep.
¿Qué he hecho de menos a mi familia? Sí, la he hecho mucho de menos.
So you have to translate for me now.
Yes.
I heard something about the familia.
If I miss my family.
Yeah.
When I'm playing there. I'm answering in Spanish
you
or
can
English?
You can do whatever. As long as you tell
you
me in English.
You speak Spanish? You speak English?
You can go in Spanish. Go in Spanish.
Pues la verdad que sí que he hecho mucho de menos a mi familia porque soy muy, muy familiar, pero mi hermano está allí en Estados Unidos, hablo con él todos los días, echo de menos a mis amigos, pero intentan venir siempre que pueden.
And school.
Oh,
and then we had the Lakers. LeBron, the white LeBron in the back, he wants to know if you're going to play with him when he and Bronny teams up in Vegas. I don't know.
I mean, it was a great feeling. Nobody trusts on us, but my brother and me, we trust on us really, really good. We know how hard we work. We know what players we are and what we're capable of. And we just take the challenge. It was really good, but next tournament is another challenge. Tomorrow is another challenge. So we enjoy it. We are so proud what we did. But next step.
Got to do it again. Yeah. Last one. This guy sitting down there with a blonde hair, his hand is turned all white because he's had it up for so long. All the blood is out. Hvad siger du? Hvad har du af spørgsmål? Godt kæmpet.
The fans?
Too much pressure, too much, do they push you, do they give you a boost? Great question.
No, I mean, every stadium on every arena are different. You play against Golden State, and every time they score a three, you go crazy because you think you are down by 20. The fans are like crazy.
A lot of times you are down by 20 when
yeah,
you play.
Yeah, they're really good, but even when they shooting, before they start shooting, they're like,
Yeah.
Because they used to score every time. So it's a lot of, every arena is different. You go to the Madison Square Garden and just the smell is different. You went to LA to see the Lakers or the Clippers and are just different. The lights, the court, the basket, the fans, everything is, that's the joy of the NBA. Like you're going to Boston and you see all the flags.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, wow. Yeah.
Perfect. He was fighting so long, he's going to get this one. Can we pass it down to him? Okay. Couple of autographs, pictures maybe? Yeah. Er der nogen, der virkelig, 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 virkelig brænder ind med et spørgsmål? Det er meget vigtigt. Du kunne godt... He would like some socks. That would be his question.
Okay.
So is that a go, or should we give it to one of the guys who actually did a good question?
No, that's a good
10, one. 10 push-ups, you'll get the socks. Is that...
One good one.
10 armbøjninger, så er der sokker. Jamen, der er hård. Han siger 1, jeg siger 10. Hvad størrelse har du?
Can you do one push-up?
40, det er 39-42, det her det er lige dig, hvis du kan tage 10 armbøjninger. Du må godt gøre det herude.
Yeah, så er here.
On stage. Så ligger vi dem her, og så er det dine, når du rejser dig.
That's good.
Uno, dos, tres,
cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve. Good job.
Hey, hey. Der var en high five. Good job. Og så her også. Yeah. Stærkt. Okay, skal vi ikke lige give ham en rigtig, rigtig stor hånd? Yep. As I mentioned before, we've done these interviews before, and I've been surprised a lot of times how open you guys are. But this was very good. I really appreciate it.
Thanks
for your genuine and openly answers, and thanks for letting us ask you some funny and stupid questions.
It was easy. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah.
En gang til, Juancho Hernan Gomez.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Vi har lidt travlt, så hvis man skal skynde sig at have et billede, så er det nu over ved Bo. Og Bo, han styrer det, og det er altså ham, den onde Bo.
Hey,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.